This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.
Most of the time.
And joining us is, go ahead.
We have Tom Jones and Ray.
Not the singer.
Not the singer.
Damn, that's a disappointment.
I didn't want to throw my underwear at him anyway.
We have Ray Kastner here. Tom, you're from, what was that, Langley?
NASA Armstrong, California.
I was close. And Ray Kastner is
about 3,000 miles.
From Cleveland. I mean, I never knew NASA had a research center in Cleveland.
We have about 3,000 employees there and three or four large wind tunnels.
Now, you had said that you specialize in supersonic research. I would have thought by now that we know everything about supersonic flight. This is obviously not true.
We do know a lot about how to fly supersonic, but we are still working on trying to making it quiet. So the sonic booms are the problem, why we can't fly supersonic over land right now.
It makes everybody angry.
It does. Sonic boom, they think, oh, it's going to thunder outside. Here comes a rainstorm, and they look, it's blue sky. Uh-oh, something's wrong here.
I think there was something about windows being broken, too, that kind of upset people.
Maybe. You know, hearing loss, broken windows, shattered dishes.
Oh, yeah, you're in a wind tunnel. Darn, we don't get to go out there and hear any. I think I've heard one sonic boom in my life.
Come to NASA Armstrong. We'll boom you.
Okay, cool. I want to hear that.
Me too. I hear, you know, when I'm at an air show and somebody goes by in an F-18 just under the speed of sound, you not only can hear it, but you can feel it as well. You feel the pressure wave.
Sure.
And that's what you guys are trying to control, right? That pressure wave coming off the aircraft?
Yeah, but, I mean, you can't stop an aircraft from making a pressure wave, so you have to find some way to diffuse it so it's not such a sharp shock pressure rise.
So most of the airplanes that are built today that like fly for the military and, you know, fly supersonic, they tend to create what we call an N wave that you hear on the ground. So all the shock waves that get produced off all the different surfaces of the aircraft, they end up combining so that by the time they reach the ground, they sound like the loud ba-boom that we're typical to hearing. And what we're doing these days is trying to design the surface of the airplane in a different way, the outer mold line of the airplane in a different way, so that the shock waves don't coalesce into this big, strong N wave. And so you end up with something that looks more like a sine wave, mm-hmm. and it's much more soft on the ears.
Yeah.
You get more of maybe a soft pump.
Okay. That sounds interesting.
Well, you know, this
How do you do that, though? I mean, first question is, well, it comes to my mind because I'm weird. Who comes up with these ideas? You guys sit around and get out the bag of napkins and the beer and say, well, what if we try this?
Back of the envelope, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the inspiration. Know,
well, NASA's been doing research for decades in supersonic ever since, you know, we broke the sound barrier. Now we're working on fixing it.
So. Yes, exactly. That's one of our promos. Hey.
I was going to say, you know, one of the finest supersonic aircraft that NASA ever had access to. It's the XB-70 Valkyrie, a personal favorite of mine.
Big
airplane. If you want a sonic boom, that's the one that's going to generate it, because that thing was humongous and also Mach 3 capable.
Yeah, they actually have, we have a lot of the data still from sonic boom recordings of that from back in like the 60s.
You need new ones. Is there any way you're going to resurrect this airplane and fly her again?
Yeah.
The XB-7? No. She's in the museum
for good reason.
In Ohio, I think.
Yeah.
Dayton.
Yep.
How much does a sonic boom change the amount over Mach 1 you're going? Like, is a Mach 1.1 sonic boom radically different from a Mach 2 sonic boom?
Well, you wouldn't really get one at Mach 1. You do get one at Mach 1, but if you were flying at 30,000 feet, it probably wouldn't actually reach the ground, so you wouldn't hear it. But yeah, if you were flying, like the pressure wave magnitude is kind of somewhat proportional to the Mach number. So by the time it reaches the ground, you might be able to tell the difference between, say, a Mach 1.5 boom versus a 3.3 boom.
Okay. You probably got one guy out there that swears he can do that, too.
A couple, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, NASA just worked with Lockheed Martin to design a new demonstrator vehicle, and that's what we've got on display over at the NASA display. We're actually staffing a booth there, and we just finished wind tunnel testing that in Cleveland up to a Mach 1.6.
Wow. Super Cruise, that's like a big hot button amongst the fighter guys. We want to be able to go fast without using all that fuel. Why is that so difficult? Just because of the tremendous drag increase as you accelerate?
Yeah, but Ray can probably talk to it the best, but I mean, generally Super Cruise is just a fancy way of saying we've got a lot more thrust in our engine, and we don't need to use the afterburner.
Okay.
Right. In the last 30 years, you know, engine technology has become much more efficient.
Okay, so bigger engine.
I was going to say, there goes the Mystique of Super Cruise.
Yeah, right.
Everybody, wow, it's got Super Cruise. Uh-oh. Well,
now, you guys are working on sonic boom research, per se, the shockwave. What about aircraft stability? That's pretty much been worked out as you transition through into supersonic?
Yeah, most of the major airframers that do develop supersonic aircraft over the years, they've gotten it all figured out.
And that was one of the things we just did in our wind tunnel. We did about 2 months of stability and control testing in our 8-foot by 6-foot supersonic tunnel.
Wow. Typically, you're using scale models made out of stainless steel. And
yeah, so the airplane's supposed to be 100 feet long, and our model was 9.5 feet long. It was actually the biggest full airplane model we've ever run in that wind tunnel.
100-foot-long supersonic
demonstrator.
What exactly? This must be for like Amazon.com to get packages there really quick or something.
Well, actually, the airplane that we're still designing and hope to be building here shortly is really just a technology demonstrator. So it's only a single seat airplane. It'll be flown by a test pilot, and it will just be used to verify the analysis that all the design tools have shown, and the wind tunnel data has shown that we can design an airplane that produces a quiet sonic boom on the ground.
Well, that's another question too. Verification of your computer models. I mean, have you had any surprises where the measured data is like, whoa, this is way off. What happened here?
I think actually NASA's spent about 8 years developing wind tunnel data and comparing it to computer models. So early on, yes, there was a lot of head scratching, and over time, they've definitely been able to figure that out.
They're approaching.
Yeah.
And now some 6-year-old kid's going to get on his IBM PC and go, oh, look at this. I can do this.
Probably.
And you guys will be all out of work.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of where
that would be awesome.
Why we think it's kind of the right time to go and build this airplane is our computational fluid dynamics technology has advanced to the point where, you know, we're actually getting reliable matching between the CFD and the wind tunnels for quiet shaped booms, right? So when we can design these airplanes, they look long and pointy, real like lawn darts. Long and pointy, but they're quiet sonic booms on the ground. And when we can design them in the tools and the data looks like what we predicted in the wind tunnel, then we think we're finally onto something. And so, you know, we've done research for decades now, and the design tool technology has finally advanced to the point where building this airplane and going and demonstrating the tools is really the next step.
Okay, well, you know, computer horsepower has gotten a lot cheaper.
I was going to say,
you don't need a Cray anymore.
Well, a Cray wouldn't hurt you guys, that's for sure, because you've got to be, you know, trying to figure out millions of data points on this stuff.
Yeah, they start the simulation and then they go home and come back a day later to see if it's done crunching.
Or days later, yeah.
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 And it does still run, we do still run on big supercomputers up at like NASA Ames in Mountain View, California.
Nice. No tubes, though. It's all solid state, finally.
I was going to say, how did the Cleveland Research Center come about? I can understand California, because you've got great weather there for flying experimental aircraft and doing research and stuff, lots of open land. But Cleveland for
they
a research
center? They got the building
center?
Cheap.
Yeah, Cleveland started, just in a quick nutshell, as an Army Air Force research lab back to do propulsion testing. And I think they put it in Cleveland because they could build big wind tunnels there, and power was cheap from the Tennessee Valley.
Okay.
Wow. I would have never thought of that as being the driving force.
I was going to say.
But
I mean,
yeah, you must use a lot of electricity.
Our 8x6 wind tunnel pulls 60 or 70 megawatts of power every hour.
So do you have to call the power company and tell them, yeah, we're going to start it
Absolutely,
up today?
Yeah. You can't just turn it on willy-nilly. Yeah,
that's exactly. One hell of a hairdryer.
I was going to say, I'd like to be the guy who flips the switch. That thing's got to be huge.
Yeah, the whole grid groans.
Yeah, the compressor is 40 feet in diameter.
Wow. So that's one of those blowdown tunnels?
It's a continuous flow.
Okay.
So the air turns in a loop.
But you're saying compressor, you're talking of a fan in my lingo.
Essentially a big fan, yep, pushes the air through the wind tunnel.
Okay.
Yep.
You got to be real careful in this thing too, because the one thing you don't want to do is to have pieces come off of your aircraft or you know, just any kind of garbage in the tunnel from working in there. You don't want that to go through the compressor, because that'd be really bad.
Exactly. Although our wind tunnels are a little different, because since we're a propulsion lab and we do a lot of jet engine testing, the folks back in the 40s who built that wind tunnel were very smart. And they thought about that, and they said, we're going to put the compressor upstream, so right. When we're testing jet engines and parts come off, they're not going to hurt our compressors.
I'm sure there's some interesting dents in the first turn wall.
Oh, I'll bet.
So, how long have you guys been involved in this? You're both relatively young.
I've been with NASA for over 20 years.
Wow. Yeah. You look good.
Thanks.
You know,
however, when you go,
I'm on Tom Jones, right?
Yeah, so I got it. You got to keep up the image, yeah. However, when you go into the bars and the girls go, "What do you do?" and you say, "I research sonic booms." Yeah. How many second dates did you get?
Yeah, their eyes glaze over. That's a short conversation.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, luckily, I could also lead with that. We fly a supersonic airplane, so I do. I actually do get to ride in them.
Are you pilots?
I am a pilot. I own a Thorpe T-18.
Okay. Nice. Nice choice. Supersonic Thorpe T-18.
Yeah. Still working on the propulsion for that.
You know, and this just brings up the one point about NASA, and it's, you know, it's not all rocket science. You guys are involved in a lot of stuff.
They've had their fingers in everyone's pie.
Well, you know, and this research is particularly relevant because it seems like every 5 years somebody comes up with the idea of, let's build another supersonic transport.
Yep.
And the whole world seems to go, oh, no, not again.
Not again, yeah. Well, Tom and Ray, I want to thank you guys for joining us, and I'm assuming you're over in the NASA tent.
Yes.
Yep, we'll
Very
be there.
Very good. Very
and
good.
Amongst the forums and whatnot, I'll put in the plug. I'm giving a talk on our X-plane tomorrow at 11:30, I believe.
Very good. Well, we'll have to go on over there.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks again. This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.